We're continuing to work through the catechism, as is our habit in the afternoon. We're now at a juncture where we've moved from considering first the commandments, and then we moved into considering the ordinances and the weeks prior, and now we're coming to a new section in the catechism which deals specifically with prayer and a variety of points. And so this afternoon, we begin the first series of questions which deal with prayer, and want to develop from James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, the role that faith plays in prayer, particularly as it relates to what we might ask, are we able to pray a prayer which is not a good prayer, or versus a prayer that is actually good? What is it that what role does faith play in those particular activities when we come to prayer? And James's account in James chapter 1 is very interesting. For as we already heard in the reading earlier, this particular instance or context that James is writing into is of one lacking something. They come to some recognition that they do not have the wisdom which is necessary to execute the laws, demands upon their life, God's will for their life. And they come into this time of testing, even in verses 2 through 4. Where we read of various trials, verse 2, or the testing of faith, verse 3, and even in verse 4 of this concept of endurance that relates to the Christian life. And in verses 5 through 8, there is the sense of this wisdom which is necessary that is lacking. So the question being of this wisdom and how is it that it is received, and in the short, the way in which it's received is by prayer. And James helpfully gives us helpful insight when he highlights for us not only is it through prayer, but also that is through a particular kind of prayer, or verse 6, this he must ask in faith. So when we're considering prayer and we're considering the role of faith that necessarily plays in it, what is meant in particular by faith? Is it simply that a Christian or one who is in the faith has open access in the sense of whatever we pray we can ask for? And there is a sense in which for every Christian we may cry out to the Lord, for he is our Father for the sake of Christ. And yet at the same time, James is writing to those who are part of the churches, to those elect exiles or the 12 tribes dispersed abroad in verse 1 of chapter 1. And he's writing to them to inform them to ask of the Lord when they find that they are lacking, and to do so freely. For we notice that James really begins with answering the question of who is it that should ask? For the first part of verse 5, we see that who is it that should ask? But anyone who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. We say, well, who would that be? Who would necessarily lack wisdom? And James' implied answer would be everyone lacks wisdom in the sense of coming to a particular task and wondering how it is that we will come to bring something to pass, particularly in times of testing. We may wonder of what it is the Lord would have us to do in a difficult time, whether it be that our faith is being tested or if there's trials of various kinds. Perhaps in these moments, I'm sure we all can attest, there have been times when we have come into a difficult circumstance or trials of various kinds, and we wonder how it is that we should go about doing what the Lord would have us to do. It'd be the role of wisdom, or how to bring into full-fledged form what the Lord would have for us. And James here recognizes that we often, and almost nearly always, as fallible individuals, lack wisdom. And so we should ask the Lord for wisdom. These are the ones who should ask. James is transitioning to this particular point to remind us to seek the Lord's wisdom and to cry out for him and to seek that wisdom at all times, but particularly in times of trouble. Notice as well that James quickly moves into not only those who lack wisdom, and that we have, so these are those who should ask, and they're coming to the Lord to ask freely. But what a wonderful second portion of verse 5 in terms of our own experience. Who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Oftentimes if we know something in a down-to-earth sort of way, and we come along and we may say we have a stupid question, or we know that we should already know something and we don't know it yet, or we've gone through a particular kind of experience and we keep having that experience over and over again, we might feel like we're just really slow and we aren't really learning what the Lord would have us to do. And yet, James isn't saying that's the type of Lord that we serve at all. What a comforting statement it is to hear. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach. It will be given to him. And we're going to get into verse 6 about the asking in faith, but we're being told up front that we should ask the Lord and that we should ask him who we know, who is our Father for the sake of Christ Jesus. But also, this is the same Lord who gives to everyone generously, and in this very sweet phrase, without reproach, given to him. It's not like when we come to deal with those who are a lot like us, where we might say, how could you not know that? Or how is it that you have yet to learn? Or perhaps we say that to ourselves. Yet with the Lord, when we come and we draw near in prayer to ask him for wisdom, that we may know what we should do, we come to one knowing that he gives to all generously and without reproach. And so it's the context and really the beginning, the introduction to what James is going to bring in verse 6. But this wonderful reminder of who it is that we are petitioning and the way in which he treats us, the way in which he deals with us. So in many ways, seeing even today the way in which some small children will run to their fathers or run to their parents, and we see this wonderful expectation that they're going to be received warmly by their parents, that they come with their arms outstretched almost as it were for a hug. And yet, James here, when he's speaking to us in somewhat of an analogical way, is describing for us the same sense that we're drawing near to the Lord, our God, for the sake of Christ, and that he will give to us generously and without reproach. That we're drawing near to him, and the expectation and the way in which we should draw near to him is highlighted by that particular type of background, knowing with whom we have to deal. For he gives generously to us as his people for the sake of Christ. And so when we're thinking the way in which we are to approach prayer through the lens of faith, we are coming with the background knowledge of knowing we are the children of God for the sake of Christ. And furthermore, the way that our Heavenly Father deals with us is not harsh. It's rather loving. It's that which is reaching out to us and giving to us freely as we ask him. What a wonderful way in which James highlights for those who are in times of difficulty, verses 2 through 4, where it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Quickly moving into verse 5, which we've already read, and consider that James is speaking to those who are under fire, to those who are in times of difficulty, in particular in verses 2 through 4. And what does he tell them to do but to seek the Lord, and in this wonderful sort of expectation of receiving from the Lord that which is lacking. In this sense, we can say that verse 6, which follows, is in many ways built upon verse 5 and this expectation of what the Lord will do and the one with whom we have to deal. And so the next verse is all the more poignant in verse 6, where it says, but he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Well, we've considered who should ask. We've considered the one who we are asking of briefly, and where we want to spend most of our time this afternoon, is the way in which the petition is being made. Verse 6 says, but he must ask in faith without any doubting. In this sense, we come to really what we want to develop at length is when we're coming and drawing near to the Lord and we are praying to him, and we hear that we are to ask in faith. What's that mean? And we really want to consider, what does it mean that we have faith? For we know that ultimately the way in which we're measuring whether we had faith is not necessarily in the way if we get the response that we were hoping for. For we know that we can pray for an illness to pass, it may not. We may pray for a change at work, or we may pray for a change in the culture, whatever it may be. Does that mean we didn't pray in faith? And the response is no. For what are we to ask of the Lord? Verse 5, of wisdom, and that he will give without reproach, and he gives freely or generously to all. So in this sense, when we're seeing in verse 6, the asking in faith without any doubting is the way in which we are praying and crying out to the Lord. That we are, to return to the analogy of the child running to the parent, running with that full expectation of being received, of being heard, and of the Lord hearing our prayer. That is not half-hearted or in many ways slow or lackadaisical, but rather that we are boldly asking the Lord for his wisdom in prayer. We may even use, as we've heard before from Pastor Doug, describing a faith that it is knowledge, assent, and trust. That in this sense, so we're hearing in the faith of when we draw near to ask the Lord of what it is that we so desperately need in wisdom, that we can draw near in faith. And that really simply means that we know with whom we are, with whom we have to do, namely the Lord. And that we are crying out to him, even as James has reminded us in verse 5, when he reminds us of the way in which the Lord transacts with us, namely giving to all generously and without reproach. Furthermore, we know that in the ascent, that we are ascending, that these things are so. We could say for the sake of Christ for us, that they're true. That's to say, we know that they exist. We know that they're true. And we know when trusting in them that they are true for us. So when we're drawing near to pray in faith, it's not simply knowing that the Lord is able to answer our prayer and that we assent that that is true, but also believing that it's true for us. As to say that we're crying out to our Lord who is capable and able and desirous of hearing our prayer for Jesus' sake and answering it according to his will. So not only are we asking the Lord by faith, but furthermore that we are doing so as those who are children of God. We'll be working through the catechism as an aside as we move through the Lord's Prayer as well. We'll consider various aspects of that. But in all these things, our catechism even highlights this sense of faith and the way in which the language of the text reads. Question 105 asks, what is prayer? Answer, a prayer is an offering up our desires to God by the assistance of the Holy Spirit for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, believing with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. This aspect of believing or trusting or in faith that they are being asked and crying out to the Lord. That in this sense, faith is a very important aspect to the way in which we pray. Namely, that it is done earnestly, that it is done knowing with whom we have to do and also trusting that the Lord cares for us for the sake of Christ. And so we cry out in this sense in the way in which we pray. Notice as well, knowing that as we draw near, we are drawing near without any doubting. In this sense, we may for a moment pause and wonder of the way in which we can say that our faith at various times, and we may say at some moments we're very confident in the sense of our subjective experience, and there can be other moments in which we are not as confident in our subjective experience, where we may not even know the words to pray, and yet when we're crying out to the Lord, we know that James is writing to those who have yet to find a perfect sense of sanctification in this life. For notice, even in the first series of verses, verse 3 in particular, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James is assuming that they are works in progress. James is assuming that we do not yet have this perfection or completion that we will necessarily arrive at when the Lord brings us home to glory. But in the meanwhile, what is James saying? If you lack wisdom, if you say that I do not have this perfect to complete faith or perfect to complete endurance, well, we can ask the Lord for wisdom and ask him knowing that he gives to all generously and without reproach, that we draw near to him without doubting, knowing that he loves us for the sake of Christ and also that he is the one who gives freely to all, and also knowing that he truly knows our own disposition, that when we pray to him, it is not as those who draw near expecting a rebuke, but rather as those who draw near expecting the Lord to hear our prayer for Jesus' sake and also to respond according to his will for our good and his glory. So when we're thinking about the way in which we're praying and that we're praying in faith, James is not seeking to lay upon us this guilt trip, but rather expressing to us the way in which we are to pray with faith. And he helps us understand further something of the way in which this faith plays a role in our prayer by way of a negative example. Gives us this negative example in verse 6, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. We don't have a whole lot of experience with water, at least in North Dakota, but I think we're all familiar with the type of image that is being expressed for us, namely that this one who is doubting, this one who is not praying according to faith, but rather doubting concerning the petition that is being made to the Lord, is like one who is driven about like the surf of the sea without any sense of bearing or any type of grounding. Rather, they are driven about, tossed about, without any real hope. What a difference in the sense of this prayer of faith, which is grounded in the promises of God, which is grounded in who the Lord is and the way in which he deals with his people for the sake of Christ. Rather, this one who is doubting is one who is driven and tossed about, the complete opposite. Indeed, James goes on to say that that man, verse 7, ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In this sense, we see the distinction between this good prayer, we might say, or prayer that is of faith, and the bad prayer, or the prayer that is in keeping with doubt, are opposed, not in the sense that either one, both individuals offered a prayer. And yet the distinction is the one who has offered that prayer by faith or in faith, or earnestly, we might say in context, is with the knowledge that they are drawing near to the Lord, who with confidence has received, who receives them for the sake of Christ. And furthermore, who is pleased to give to them without reproach, giving generously to them, as opposed to that one who is a doubter, this doubting man, rather they give this prayer by doubt, and furthermore, that what is it that they can expect to receive, but rather nothing, for they are a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Ask what is the distinction, what is doubt in particular, that we might understand more about this one who is driven about, unstable in all their ways. I think in context, see in verse 5, the sense of knowing who the Lord is, knowing that he is this one who gives generously to all and without reproach, that is being highlighted for us, the sense of why we are drawing near and we are crying forth in faith via prayer to the Lord, as opposed to this one who is doubting, unstable in all their ways, who instead is doubting not only who the Lord is and the way in which he deals with his people, but that they are doubting in some sense the very goodness of God. In this way, we can say that this one who is doubting understands that they lack wisdom. They're in the trial, just like the one who prays via faith, but they do not believe the promises of God are true for them in this particular sense. It's interesting, too, that James is not only writing to those who are James is writing to those who are in the household of faith. Notice verse 1. To the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings, and then consider it all joy, my brethren. He greets them as brothers, and he is writing to them to not pray according to doubt, but rather to pray according to faith, knowing who the Lord is and what he has done for them. In some sense, the one who doubts does not trust the one who does give generously to all and without reproach. And so in this sense, they are overcome by their doubts and by the trials of life, in many ways showing that they are those who are not those who have cried forth in faith to the Lord. This type of asking is contrary to this asking of faith and is contrary to the cry of faith. When we're thinking of prayer, we should not come to the Lord as those who have received so much for the sake of Christ and in response doubt the mercies of God or doubt that he will give us wisdom to respond, but rather we come to the Lord believing that he will hear our cry for Jesus' sake and that he will give us what is necessary for life and godliness. We draw near knowing who it is in whom we have believed and knowing the way in which he has dealt with us so kindly for the sake of Christ, and knowing the way in which he is pleased to give to us generously without reproach. As an aside again, it should not be that we beat ourselves up saying, but I lack faith, or I do not yet have the complete fullness of my sanctification, that is, I'm not yet in glory, and in which case James in many ways is writing to people such as ourselves, those who have yet to reach that perfect and complete sense of endurance, for we are still those who are in trials. And yet we respond in the midst of trial and in the midst of difficulty, not by crying forth with doubts, but rather being reaffirmed all the more in the way in which the Lord deals kindly with us for the sake of Christ, knowing the way in which he has been pleased to give us all manner of good things for the sake of Jesus. It's not that we deserve them, but rather that Christ has merited them by the shedding his blood on our behalf. Furthermore, in verses 7 through 8, we see in many ways this one who should not expect to receive from the hand of the Lord any good thing. Ask, what kind of person is that? But those who doubt, those who do not believe. And again, as an aside, we cannot in this particular context be driven by we've asked for whatever it may be that we've been asking for. And it can be very good things. We hear week after week of the prayer for those children who have been among us and have yet to make a profession of faith. In many cases, the prayers have been for a long period of time. It's a very good thing to pray for. Or we pray as well for whatever it may be that is particularly good, or perhaps to have some sort of trial removed or to have some sort of answer to a particular question. And it may be easy to quickly jump into some sort of outcome-based prayer and believing that if I'm not receiving the outcome that I desire, then I must not be asking in faith. It's not what James is talking about when he describes the way in which we are to ask in faith. It's not outcome-driven in the sense of the way in which we would often think of it. I've asked for this illness to be removed, or I've asked for this child to be converted, or whatever it may be in these particular senses. Rather, James is saying, if we lack wisdom, let us ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. We ask for the Lord for wisdom. He will grant it freely. And furthermore, we can ask those things concerning, like we do pray, for the conversion of the lost, for the benefit of the saints, for the growth of the gospel ministry throughout the world. And yet, the way in which we measure those things is not by the way in which we can see them with our senses, but rather as we see them in the way in which the Lord has described them in his word. Furthermore, in James chapter 1, what is being highlighted by James is not the sense of this outcome-driven prayer where it's materialist in the way in which it's measured, but rather it's that which is looking to the Lord in faith for that which he gives to us, even when that response is not necessarily in the way in which we had previously hoped, knowing that when we do receive from the Lord's hand, as that one who gives generously to all and without reproach, that many times the Lord hears our prayer, and we can say he responds in a way that's wonderful, that we do see sinners being converted. We do see the gospel ministry being heightened and further increased. The Lord has promised to do those things. But in other cases, when we do pray in other ways, it still is necessarily according to his word that and will that it must necessarily come to pass. And so in this sense, when we're thinking of praying in faith and asking ourselves if we are indeed praying according to faith, asking in faith without any doubting, that we are not measuring that later down the road of saying, are we truly praying of faith or have we been doubting all this time? No doubt we know some who will say you just have to have faith or to sow a seed and it will simply be true, or they've never had illness or they've never tasted poverty because of their faith. It's not what James is saying at all. Rather, he is saying the way in which we are to pray is knowing and assenting and trusting in the Lord with whom we have to do, the one that we cry out to, our Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus. As we continue to move forward in the days ahead to consider the various petitions in the Lord's Prayer, let us come to those petitions knowing that faith is required in order to cry out to the Lord, of course, but also furthermore that it is trusting that the Lord sincerely and genuinely hears our prayer for Jesus' sake. And furthermore, that we draw near, like that child drawing near to their father who will give to them without reproach and generously. In this sense, we can say that the Lord has been pleased to highlight in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, the way in which the role of faith plays in our prayer, that we come to the Lord not doubting, but rather trusting that the Lord hears our prayer for Jesus' sake and that he has been pleased to grant us all that is lacking. And indeed, what is more comforting than to know when we say that our faith is lacking, that there is still much which is required in terms of improvement and in terms of growth? Well, James even anticipates that in saying, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. James assumes once more that we are those who have yet to arrive. So when we pray, we can pray as those who cry forth in faith without doubting, even as those who still have sin remaining. And indeed, what more would we have to pray about than that which is still lacking in ourselves, knowing that the Lord hears our prayer for Jesus' sake and that he understands our frailty of our frame and our weaknesses. And yet he still calls us to pray and to draw near with confidence, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ has been pleased to purchase for us such great blessings in the heavenly places. And that when we do cry to him, we know that he longs to hear our prayer and to answer our prayer according to his will for our good and his glory. Indeed, as others have said elsewhere, there's so often that the Lord desires to hear our prayers more than we desire to pray to him. And so in this sense, we can say that our Lord hears our prayer for Jesus' sake, and furthermore, that he causes us to receive so generously from his hand, even as we have seen this day, even more than we can possibly imagine at times, and particularly in the midst of trials. As we consider the role of prayer and the way in which we are to pray in the days ahead, let us look to the Lord and to pray in faith, knowing that we shall not doubt because of the one with whom we have to do, but where our faith still is lacking, where it is still not perfect or complete, where endurance is yet to find its full and final effect, let us ask the Lord to increase us in faith, to strengthen our endurance, and to provide us all that is lacking for life and godliness, knowing that he has promised to give us freely and generously from his hand and without reproach. That no matter if we've been a saint that's walked with the Lord for many decades or a saint that has simply begun to walk with the Lord, that there is a sense in which the Lord gives freely and without reproach to both. Even as we heard this morning from our pastor, that there is a rebuke that comes in Hebrews chapter 5 of those who should be teachers. Yet, even in that case, there is a sense, and the true sense when it is a rebuke, where they should know and they are in sin. And yet, even if we find ourselves in a similar situation, we can cry out to the Lord and ask for wisdom, and that we may do so in faith, knowing that he gives generously to all, and without reproach it will be given to us. And let us do so as we think about the ways in which the Lord would seek to have us do our duty, especially in those areas where we have been greatly sinful, and especially in those areas where we have much to do to make up, and especially where we are weak. For we know that where we are weak, Christ is strong. In conclusion, let us as Christians ask the Lord in faith as we draw near in prayer, even as we draw near in prayer here momentarily in our time of congregational prayer, and that we pray not as those who doubt the Lord, but rather as those who draw near, knowing that the Lord is present among us, and furthermore, that he hears our prayer for Jesus' sake. Please pray with me. Our Father, we thank you this day for your word. We do thank you that you have been pleased to cause us to receive a great inheritance for the sake of Jesus. We would ask, Lord, that you would be pleased to cause us this day by your Spirit to have a sense of your presence among us, as we know sometimes is lacking. We would ask, Lord, that you would cause us to truly appreciate the blessings that you give to us on this your day. And we would ask, Lord, that you would be pleased to cause us to banish all doubting, that we would be those who are firmly fixed to Christ, not driven to and fro. We ask, Lord, as well now as we draw near to our time of prayer, that you would be pleased to unite us in one spirit and one mind, that we may pray one for another. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.